Close the psalm book and grab your Bible. Everybody should bring a Bible to chapel with you, of course. That's like a carpenter going to a job without a hammer if you don't bring your Bible to church. So we're in Proverbs, and this time chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. So all of our pictures are taken, right? Who do you think is going to have the best picture? Who's going to have the very best? You think you're going to have the very best one? He thinks he got the best one, guys. Logan says, Logan wanted to take his again because he said it made him look ugly, is what he told the photographer. So we can't help that. All right. So we're in Proverbs chapter 5. And today we are going to continue. We skipped a couple of weeks here from our series on instruction in Proverbs. And this is turning into some writing for us as well. I'm working on some stuff. And today we're in chapter number 5, and we're going to begin at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Now, can y'all do like our church does? Can y'all say amen when you have it? If you have it there, I want you to say it really good and loud. If you're looking at it and you have it there, say amen. Oh, that was decent. That was decent. That was decent. You could do better next time, though, okay? All right, Proverbs 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated, here's our subject, instruction. How have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. There's our word again. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I'm going to stop and allow you to be seated there. We've been looking at the subject of the discipline of wisdom. The discipline of wisdom. And we have been looking at it from the biblical perspective of how wisdom benefits a young person. And thus far, we have been able to cover two thoughts. We looked at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and we observed instruction witnessed. And then we saw instruction welcomed, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And so today, we're moving on to the fifth chapter, and we're going to see instruction wasted. We're going to see that, instruction wasted. Now, let me just tell you a couple things about this before we get started. We may not finish this week, and if we don't, my feelings won't be hurt. I want to make sure that we give this matter some good, solid attention. When it comes to relationships, that is really the battleground of instruction. In fact, a relationship can assist a young person in their need for instruction, or a relationship can be very detrimental to instruction. And sadly, the story that we're reading in Proverbs chapter number 5 is the story of a young man who is beguiled and is deceived by a relationship with a character in Proverbs that has come to be known as the strange woman. So because that's who it's talking to, that's who I'm going to talk to. I'm going to talk to you young men. I'm going to talk to you at least this week, maybe next week as well. But while I'm talking to you young men specifically, I am also going to expect that you young ladies will listen, because if there is one thing that a young lady can learn from this passage of Scripture, it is how not to be identified as a strange woman. Now, a strange woman in the Bible is talking about a forbidden woman. It's talking about a woman that a young man has no business associating with. In other words, it's a woman that could be, a young woman that could be a major problem in that young man's life. I want to point out to you that in Proverbs, written by Solomon, if anybody was an expert on strange women, it was Solomon. Now, if you can imagine this with me for a moment, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 other women. So with that kind, with 1,000 women in his life, obviously there's no way to really have a true and genuine relationship with those women. What Solomon wanted was variety. And that's what a lot of young men get caught up into. They get caught up into the trap of not being true just to one person. And when you get married, you put a ring on your finger, and automatically you're a one-woman man. That's what the Bible teaches that a young man is supposed to be. You're a one-woman man. But the strange woman is not content until she entices either a young single man into doing something that is forbidden, or maybe even a married man. So the strange woman is a dangerous, dangerous person. And he paints this very sad picture in Proverbs 5. It's unclear as to whether this is his own story or whether it's an imagined story of another fictitious youth, but the content is still the same. The strange woman is a very, very dangerous woman. Now, let me get to our subject, and then we'll talk a little bit about identifying a strange woman. And I have a list of 16 ways that you can identify a strange woman. We may not be able to get to all of these this week, but we will, Lord willing, in days ahead, make sure that we cover that list and cover it well. You're going to notice it in chapter number 5 that he talked about instruction in verse number 12. After this strange woman has entered his life and has taken him down the wrong road, here's his testimony. Look at this young man. He said, well, let me begin back up in verse number 11. He said, thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And here's your testimony if you've been taken in by a strange woman. Verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction. Now, here's how this connects to our series of messages. Instruction helps a young man to be careful in his decisions with girls. Instruction helps a young man to really, really filter through the options that he has in his life as far as girls are concerned. And I want to tell you something. We got some ladies' men in our school, man. I took a trip with them to the game the other day, the volleyball game, and they all rode in the car with me, and we got to talking about, you know, how to get a girl and how to keep a girl and all that kind of stuff. And they have some genius and brilliant ideas if they can just get a little bit of wisdom, pepper that a little bit with wisdom. These are some real Romeos. We got some real deal. I'm talking about, I mean, some major Romeos in our school here. And not much to look at, but that'll change. Everything will stop looking so awkward after a while. So here's some news for you. Guys are interested in girls. That is not forbidden in Scripture. Did you know that? That is not forbidden. In fact, we might would be worried about a young man who's not interested in girls. Now, when you're a kid, you think girls have cooties, and you're not interested in girls at that point. We get that. But as you begin to grow and mature, you naturally, it's really a God-given instinct, you naturally begin to notice people of the opposite gender. Girls start to like guys, and guys start to like girls. Now, here's the problem. Although that is not forbidden, what becomes problematic with it is if you try to engage in that before your instruction is finished, before your wisdom has been imparted to you. And you can get into a relationship with a young woman, or in a relationship, I can also add this, with a young man, that can really change the direction of your life spiritually. It can really have a control over your life that can alter the course of the direction that you're headed in almost irretrievably. And so when I see a young man or a young woman in our church, some of you I'm your pastor, some of you I'm not, but when I see a young man or a young woman in our church bring somebody to church with them, here's this girl that shows up. And automatically, it's instinctive with me, I just start sizing her up. I want to know what her spiritual testimony is. I want to know what her background is. If you'll pardon me, that is part of my business. It's your parents' responsibility to instruct you. It's your teacher's responsibility to instruct you. It's also your pastor's responsibility to instruct you. And so when I see a young woman who is liking a young man, or a young man who's liking a young woman, I always give real close attention. What kind of person have they set their eyes on here? And I start probing around and doing some investigating. What kind of church background do they have? Do they even go to church? What kind of testimony do they have? Do they openly and proudly proclaim Christ as the Lord of their life? If those things are not intact, I start worrying. Because I know from experience with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people, I know that all of the wisdom and all of the instruction that has been imparted to you in your home and in your school and in your church can be forgotten overnight when you get your mindset on the wrong relationship. So in this passage, he talks about a young man who is being chased and pursued by a strange woman. Ladies, listen close to this. This strange woman is identified in 16 ways in this passage of Scripture. Now, before I start talking about some of those ways, young men and young women, I want to bring up an ugly subject. Can I do that real quickly? In Greek mythology, there's a monster in Greek mythology called Medusa. Y'all remember her? Somebody just in 5 words or less, tell me what you know real quick about Medusa. Lily Mae, what do you know about Medusa? She has snakes for hair. You remember that? Really, really kind of grotesque and ugly looking. Yes, ma'am. You sang Sunshine Mountain. Tell me what you know about Medusa. She turns people to stone. Okay, that's what I'm after. The rest of it I'll talk to you afterwards. What do you have to do to Medusa to be turned into stone? Snob you? You look at her face. You look at her in the eyes. Right? And you might have seen this in movies or read about this in a book or whatever, but the most valiant soldiers, I'm talking about the bravest, the strongest, the ones with the most training, if you've ever seen these things in movies, when they looked at Medusa, they just got turned into stone and everything is lost. They don't get to go back to their family. They don't get to capitalize on all the training and all the teaching they've received. They're kind of all of a sudden a waste. But today that's what I'm going to talk to you about. There's some guys that all they have to do is just set their eyes on a strange woman, and it's like they spiritually turn into stone. It's like they spiritually all of a sudden become hardened to the things of God and hardened to any spiritual application, that it's almost as if they go off the deep end. So what is this woman like? Go to chapter 2, verse 16. You got your Bibles? And if you're taking notes, I want you to take them really good right here, okay? Go to chapter 2, verse number 16, guys and girls. In chapter 2, verse number 16, we find that the strange woman is a flatterer. Look at chapter 2. It says, to deliver thee, here she is, from Medusa, from the strange woman. What does it say? From the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, what's wrong with that? There's a difference between a compliment and flattery. A compliment is just a nice thing to say about somebody. You notice something nice, so you say something nice. It may be something like, I like the way you did your hair today. Or it may be something nice like, you're just a good friend to me. There's a host of different things. Or it may be, you know, something nice you want to say about a guy. Hey, your shirt really matches your pants today. Which is a miracle for some guys, right? So just saying something nice. Flattery, on the other hand, is a compliment that is looking for something. A compliment that wants something in return. So there's a difference between, listen to this, guys. There's a difference between looking at a girl and saying, you look nice today, which is a compliment, and looking at a girl and saying, honey, you hot today. That's a big difference, is it? It's not saying the same thing. It's flattery when it crosses the line, and watch this, when it is inciting a response, when it is creating in that young woman or that young man's mind sort of a sidetrack of thought. Forget what the Bible says, baby. Forget what your church has taught you, honey. I've got eyes for you, and I've noticed you've got eyes for me. That's flattery. That's flattery. Now listen to this. The strange thing about this situation is that this is not coming from the words of a young man, but this is coming from a strange woman. So that means that this strange woman in chapter 2, verse 16, by the way, turn to chapter 7, verse number 5. You'll see it there again in chapter 7. I'm going to fast forward. Can y'all do that with me? Go to chapter 7 and verse number 5. You can notice it says here that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which what? Which flattereth with her words. Go down to verse number 21, same chapter, verse number 21. Here she is again. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. She didn't kiss him. She didn't grab him and tackle him. That's not what it says. What does it say? She started with this suggestive talk. Now, most of the time in your life, that may come in the form of a text message. It may come in the form of some young woman who is too forward, too aggressive, too just turn it on too fast, and she may text something inappropriate to you. Mark her down. Block her. Get her off of your phone list. She's a strange woman. And she is not. She's up to no good. She's up to no good. Did you get that? She's up to no good. Can I give you number two? It's similar, but go back to chapter 5 and verse number 3. We'll also notice the strange woman is a sweet talker. Look at chapter 5, verse number 3. Look how the Bible describes her language. It calls it her lips here. It says, for the lips, chapter 5, verse 3. Are you looking at that? Chapter 5, verse 3. The lips of a strange woman, what does it say? Drop as in honeycomb. And her mouth is smoother than oil. In other words, she knows what to say to get you thinking about her. She knows how. Listen, we haven't even talked about the visual. We haven't even talked about any of that. We're just talking here. She knows what to say to get your fire burning. And if she is that aggressive, if she is, number one, a flatterer, if she is, number two, a sweet talker, that means she's not a lady. A lady is not that forward. There's a difference between a woman and a lady. A lady is not aggressive. A lady is not somebody who's just going to chase a guy down. You say, preacher, why are you so worried about this? Let me tell you why, guys. Are you ready? If she's treating you that way, she's treating other guys that way. If she's that aggressive with you and she's got your attention that way, she also covets and desires the attention of a host of other guys, and she's grabbing their attention the same way she got yours, by turning on the charm, by being a flatterer and having a sweet mouth. That's not her only characteristic. in chapter 5, verse number 3. We have three of them now. She's a flatterer. She is then, chapter 5, verse 3, a sweet talker. Her lips are like a honeycomb. She is a smooth talker. It says in chapter 5, verse number 3, that her mouth is smoother than oil. Now let's look at some of the unfortunate things about her. Go to chapter 5 and verse 6. I want you to see this. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. What does it say? Her ways are movable, and thou canst not know them. Number 4, she's unstable. She's unstable. How do you know you have a strange woman? Maybe 1, 2, or 3 of these things. Some of these things may not be true about her, but if she starts accumulating these characteristics and these traits, she's a strange woman. And one of those ways is she's unstable. How about this girl that likes you today, doesn't like you tomorrow? How about this girl that likes you today and likes another guy tomorrow? How about if she has broken your heart several times? How about if she has dumped you several times? And it's not because she wants to focus on grades. It's not because she wants to focus on instruction. It's because she wants to play the field. She wants to be free, and she wants to have all of this variety of guys chasing after her. That's the characteristic of a strange woman. Chapter 5, verse number 6 tells us she's unstable. Go to chapter 9, verse 13. It says the same thing. I'm turning there with you. Chapter 9, verse number 13 adds this. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. You know what that means? That means she has this simple, instinctive, fleshly way about her. She roams, she prowls, she's on the lookout. She's always looking for some simple guy that she can reel in. Better be careful, because if she's smarter than you are, you're going to get your heart broke. If she's smarter than you are, you're going to get your heart ripped out of your chest and stomped on, because you're going to be plugged in. You're going to be all invested. You're going to be like, man, this is my girl. I have a future with her. I can see us together. I can see all of these things. She's not thinking that way. Why? Because she's unstable. She won't commit. She won't be a one-man woman. Go on. Maybe one or two more. What are we on? Number 1, she's a flatterer. Number 2, she's a sweet talker. Number 3, she's a smooth talker. Number 4, she's unstable. Let me give you another one. Go to chapter 7, verse 13. This is where it's going to get tough. I hope you ladies are listening. I really hope you guys are listening, but I want you ladies to listen to this too, because this is what the Bible says you are not supposed to be. Chapter 7, drop down to it, verse number 13. What does it say? She caught him. That means she was chasing him. Right? She caught him, verse 13. What does it say? And kissed him. And with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. You see the sweetness of her tongue? Do you see the smoothness of her lips? I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She starts talking all this garbage about, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one. She gets you all invested. She gets you all plugged in. She gets you all turned on and all hot and bothered, and then all of a sudden you find out she's unstable. And watch this, what really kills you is you find out she's not just been doing that with you, but she's the same way with a lot of other guys. That's a strange woman. That's a strange woman. My 5th point is this, if you were taking notes. She uses her outward looks to seduce. She uses her outward looks. She likes to show off her physical features. And she may be a pretty girl, and that's okay. That's totally okay. You can be a pretty girl, listen to me, ladies, you can be a pretty girl and not be a strange woman. Did you get that? But if you're a strange woman, you use your looks as the first appeal to a young man. That's your first line of offense. That's the first thing that you grab his attention. And you know, if you can get him to look and look again and look a third time or look a fourth time, all of a sudden you've reeled him in, and now he's just a kind of a play toy. Now you can treat him however you want to treat him. And that is so wicked. That is so mean. She uses her outward looks to seduce. I'll talk more about that later. Go to chapter 7, verses 13 through 15 again. Notice what else he says here. And let's go to verse number 14. Notice how she flirts. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. This is a flirtatious spirit. Now listen to me. This happens, friends. This is not something, this doesn't just pass us by. This happens almost every day. It happens in this school. It happens in other schools. Young ladies know how to turn on the charm, and there is in many cases, if she's flirting and if she's initiating contact, that is an indicator. That may not be a factual evidence, but it's an indicator that she may potentially be a strange woman. Now, I'll tell you a quick story about my wife and I. We've been married 23 years, and this is going to come as a shock to some of you, okay? I'll probably just going to have to close with this and let you go home and ponder this, all right? This is going to come as a shock to some of you. But in all the years that we dated and courted, she never called me on the telephone. That was forbidden. Her parents had a rule, and that rule was she had to be a lady at all times. And so that meant she was not the aggressor. She was not the pursuer. If anybody's going to do the calling or the pursuing, it had to be me, because I was the young man. That has been turned on its head today. Nowadays, young ladies are in some cases even more aggressive than young men. There's even situations in these days where young women propose marriage. You remember the traditional movie scene where the guy gets down on his knee? Now imagine the girl doing that. She gets down on her knee and gives him an engagement ring and asks him to accept her proposal. That stuff's happening now. You know why? Because young ladies have not been taught that they are not supposed to be the aggressor. They're not supposed to be the pursuer. They're supposed to be the item that the young man flatters and that the young man reaches out to and that the young man wants to interact with. So look at what he says. If she is, we got six of them. Can I review them with you? Does anybody know number one? Say it out loud. She's a flatterer. Number two, she's a sweet talker. You got it? Number three, she's a smooth talker. Number four, she's unstable. Number five, she uses her outward looks to seduce. And number six, this is the last one, she flirts or she initiates contact. Now I'm going to say this one more time. If you're the only guy for her, some of this is permitted. Did you hear what I just said? If you're the only guy for her, some of this is okay. But if she flirts with every guy in the youth group, strange woman. If she flirts with every guy that just gives her a glance, strange woman. She is not dialed in to you, and you better get ready. If you stay in that relationship with her, your heart is going to get ripped out of your chest. And you're going to possibly doubt God, doubt his word, and struggle with a whole lot more, because you lost all of your instruction. You forgot all of your training. You forgot all of your teaching. You forgot all the examples you've ever seen in your life, and you latched on to this one relationship. So dangerous. So dangerous. Now do me a favor. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and stand. Will you do that with me right now?